Lord, God is so good. Feel his presence here today, and we just want to honor him. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and then put your finger over in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read just two different verses. Or if you just want to listen as I read, that's fine too. Galatians 5, we're going to read verse 22. Today our message is on kindness. Paul says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And then over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Lord, we thank you that you're here with us today. Pray you'd bless now your word to us. Help me, Lord, as I share out of my heart, and that you would guide us throughout this morning to the final amen. May you receive the honor and praise. Stir our hearts. May we be a kind people. And yes, Lord, I thank you for the kindness that we do sense here at Mount Pleasant. Lord, may we continue to be kind one to another, to those around us, our next door neighbor, whoever that may be. In your precious word or name, we pray today with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and today we want to consider kindness. Why not try a little kindness with someone today? We live in a world that is filled with needs. On Friday, we had the annual healing day at Roxbury, and we were part of the teams that were praying. And I guess it just struck me, as we prayed probably with 15, maybe 18 different people, of the needs. My heart just went out to some of those people, how they're suffering, and it wasn't all physical needs, there was other needs, and I even had one lady come up, and we always get their name, and then I said, and what's your need today? She said, I want to know Jesus. All right. So, prayed for her to receive Christ, and oh my, God was so close and so surreal. Even us here today, just to look within you, you know there's needs. Christians aren't exempt, are we? We're surrounded with people of need. No matter where we go, people have problems. And they certainly are varied from one person to another, but they're very real to that individual. I appreciate that verse so much, that casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Yes, some are experiencing loneliness. You know, you can be in a crowd and still be lonely. We have all made decisions sometimes that are hard. And yet God is with us if we rely on him. Tragedy strikes, can strike any one of us without warning. There's many hurting people. Loved ones are passing on every day. Illness drains us, gives us exhaustion. Perhaps it's even compounded by emotional hurts. And there's brokenness, there's emptiness, there's grief. I guess we can say, Lord, we're all candidates for kindness. You could be here today and need a touch of God. And I trust that he's giving that to you as we worship together. But evangelical Christians historically have been those that go out and meet needs. I think of John Wesley, the great preacher, father of Methodism. He preached a wonderful message of salvation and sanctification, but he was very concerned about social needs as well. You know, we can preach Christ and loving, wanting to help others, unless we do that. There's needy people out there. And so oftentimes it's when you go out with your hand extended and you help someone, no matter what it might be, a meal, a phone call, a letter, a $20 bill, you know, whatever the Lord directs you, they see Christ in you. I heard Stan sharing about the young people over the last number of years going to, I think it was West Virginia, different places, doing help, and that was kindness, reaching out, helping the poor and needy, and then also doing some things locally. And my mind went back to in Belleville one year, we wanted to do something. We thought, where can we go? And we were thinking all different things, and then somebody said, why do we have to go? There's need right here in town. And the Lord directed us to a dear lady. We knew her. Her husband had left her. Her and her son were living in this big house, and she didn't have funds to keep it up, and it was just really literally falling down. The siding was that old Enzo brick, and it got so bad it was just falling off. And thank the Lord she had a good roof. But so we contacted her, and the young people went, well, next thing, young adults and older ones wanted to join. So we did it as a church. Put new siding on that home. Wow, it just transformed it. She was overwhelmed. She just stood there with tears. She said, I don't know what to say. And it was through that she started coming to church, and as far as I know, still a regular attender. But we just reached out in love and kindness to her. Who can we help today? Who can we help? You have heard of missions, organizations, Gwyn, orphanages, hospitals. And it's in the name of Christ, the world over. I think of Franklin Graham, all that his organization is doing. But it's reaching out in hands of Christ to others, sharing the gospel with them. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. So this morning, I challenge all of us, let's look at, take a closer look at this word kindness. The dictionary says it's a quality or habit of being kind, having a benevolent nature, ready to assist and show consideration for others. A person who has a feeling for kindness is ready to respond. That's benevolence. It's simply an occasion to, out of a willing heart, to help others. Think with me a moment. Does a person come to your mind who you think, that's a kind person? I'm sure we all can think of someone. What qualifies that person to be that? Is it something you've seen on the outside? We observe the virtues of peace, patience, and joy. We're speaking of what's in the heart. It's internal. You know, you can have the joy bells ringing in your heart and no one else can hear them but you. Even when you're going through those hard places, God is with us. Well, hopefully, if your heart is full of joy, it's going to express itself out here. I saw a young lady at Roxbury this year, and I just couldn't help but notice her different times walking the paths. Her face was long and sad, and I thought, I wonder what is troubling that dear girl. Well, the one day I came in to get our lunch, and she was in the serving line, in fact, right where she was handing the trays out, and she had a big smile on her face. You know, I said to her, that's a beautiful smile. I love it. And then she smiled all the more. Now, I don't know what maybe she was going through the day before. Maybe it's just a hard time for her. But we need to notice others and encourage them when that opportunity comes. Peace is similar. Everything can be noisy all around us, and yet we can have that restful peace within. Same goes for patience. You remember I preached on that recently. Could be someone that's challenging you at work, but inside you can have that peace. Wesley, they're going to challenge you when you go through boot camp. Now, I never did that, but I sure heard a lot about it. But God will be with you. His peace will be there. Yes. Let's express and share our love and peace with others as that Christ-like love that flows through us. You see, kindness needs an object to receive your love, and then to respond in goodness, whereas peace, patience, and joy only need a subject. You need someone to express your kindness to. This morning when you got up, you know, looking for that cup of coffee. Some of you have that problem. I don't. But did you show kindness to your husband or your wife? Say, good morning, dear. I did. And she had a ready good morning back to me. It starts in the home. It's a great experience to have that come from someone else to you. But I have found it, and I'm sure you have as well, it's better to give than to receive, isn't it? Lots of times. Kindness facilitates the growth of a relationship with someone else. The latter part of Romans 2, verse 4 ends up that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. We repent not because God is vengeful, but because He is kind. He sent His only Son to come, to take our place, to pay the price of sin, and to offer us salvation. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7 tells us God raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Jesus, in all that He's done, there's that expression of grace and kindness from God. Jesus had compassion. Amplified that in and through His kindness. He fed the hungry, He healed the sick, raised the dead to life again. We heard a tremendous, actually two messages this week on the woman that had the issue of blood and went for like 20 years and how she came to Jesus. And in her own thinking, she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. Wow, what faith that was. And then when she did, Jesus turned around, who touched me? And the disciples says, what? There's a throng of people here. Everybody's touching you. But Jesus knew the healing virtue had gone out. And oh, what a story that is. It's beautiful. He had mercy. He cared for those in need while He walked this earth. And He taught those who had a hunger within to come and follow Him. And so as Christians today, is kindness an option? Never, never. It's never an option. Jesus comes and lives within us. We should be overflowing with kindness to others. He's given us a church that we can be part of the family of God. Now, I did the wrong thing there. I looked at the building. We are the church. Have to get that in our minds. Yes, we are the church. So whether it's in this lovely sanctuary, or if it's out in the woods or a hillside, we're still the church. Praise the Lord. We don't live alone on an island. We just can't keep quiet about His greatness and His love God has shown toward us. And so whenever a need comes up, we have a ready yes. How can I help you? What can I do? Maybe I can find an agency or someone to assist you if I can't. But it's all an opportunity of God's grace and a fruit of the Spirit to be expressed in kindness. You've heard stories and you share them. In fact, it's interesting, this year at camp, it's all about stories. In fact, the first service I sat down, what is that thing up there? Up on the platform, they had a small room with an opening. It was a front porch. And then you turn it around the other way and there was a doorway and they put chairs out. So different times they would flip it around, but Jeremy, our director, would say, I'm going to interview so-and-so. They're going to tell us their story. And so all through the week, we had different ones up there. They had cookies, and they had lemonade, and they never interviewed me. But it was good to watch others being interviewed and how God was working in the lives of people. Well, then the evangelists and other speakers also took on that, the stories. And actually, the evangelist, this year is a man I never knew, Kevin Federhoff. I would say he was more of a storyteller than anything else, and yet so interesting. God really used him. And he knew a lot of people that we knew. And he says, man, you, You can run, but you can't hide. Talked to him one time after service. But stories, we share them. They're not an option, not a suggestion, but a command that we're to be kind with one another and in the strength of the Spirit. And then we can share our story with others. He never calls any one of us to do anything except he will equip us to do that. He will use us and enable us. Who then are these people that we need to be kind to? Well, look back in the Old Testament in Zechariah 7, 9 and 10. We hear this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. Maybe we need to say, Lord, open our eyes that we can see those that have a broken spirit, that are lonely, that are hurting. Jay Smith, of course, many of you know him, had a ministry for like 35 years in London, England. Now the family's here in America. And he's going to be still going out around the world, but America is going to be his base. But he says, we need not be afraid of Muslim people. And I know we hear what on the news and the things that are happening, and it seems like we think, oh, they're awful people. But there's a lot of very kind, loving Muslims that need to hear about Jesus. And he said, you go and start talking with them. They might ask you, what is the Trinity? That's a total new word to them. And you try to explain and share your faith. He said, they are open. They're open. How would you like to be serving a God that you had no idea if you were going to get to heaven or not? You can't know, they say. That is the Muslims. They have no hope of heaven. And here we serve a loving God who gives us that assurance that Jesus is our Savior and we have a ticket to heaven. Our bags are packed, we're ready to go. But a Muslim can only hope. And so you see what we can share with them. We have an assurance that they don't know anything about. And Jay is amazing, the things that he was sharing. I better not go into that or I'll be preaching something else. My wife's still smiling, so let's move on. Consider the shut-in person who lost, or the one that lost their job. Step in and show kindness. How many times you say, well, I'll pray for you. Maybe the Lord wants you to put feet to those prayers. Jesus saw, he felt, and he healed. Isn't he our example? Pattern to reach out to the compassion, the needy. It may just be a kind word of encouragement. Someone that's depressed and alone. You know, Facebook is a tremendous place to share encouragement. Now, maybe you might have some other ideas there, but I see a lot of lonely, hurting people. And some just put it right out there. And I think to myself, wow, I don't think I would have put that on a Facebook. But maybe they're hurting so much they don't know what else to do. Just type a response back that you're going to remember them and you love them. You want to encourage them to keep the faith. Let's take time to listen. And listening takes time, doesn't it? Maybe even sacrifice. Well, some years ago, we were planning a trip to Romania, and Josh Peachy was part of our congregation, an older gentleman, and he came up to me with the most unusual request. He said, when I was in World War II, in Romania, an orphan saved my life. He said, the enemy was coming. I didn't know where to go and hide. He took me and hid me, and they missed me, and I'm here today. He said, here's a $50 bill. Would you go to Romania and buy shoes for any orphans that you might find? Well, I knew full well where we'd find orphans. You go to town, at the town square, and they were there. And so we were in town, and I saw this young lad, and of course he was coming wanting help, and I pointed to his shoes. That they were just tattered sneakers. You wondered how they held together. And I said, you know, go to the store. You know, you can you can communicate in a way that they knew what you were saying. So we took him in an apartment store, and I had the lady fitting him up with a brand new pair of shoes. It wasn't long when his friends came running. They wanted a new pair. And we had enough money, we'd get both of them a pair of shoes. And I'll never forget the second one. The shoes really weren't that bad, and they set the shoes up on the counter while they were fitting this one. A lady came by and grabbed those shoes and went. They were good enough for her children, I guess. But what a joy it was to be Josh, in a way, over in Romania, and to help him to repay that kindness for so many years before. Those smiles and those hugs I'll never forget. And I was glad I could come back and tell him about it. So whatever or whomever we meet, or the Lord may bring across our pathway, let's show kindness to them. Lastly, let's discover there is a bonus for kindness. It pays off. It really does. God will shower joy and blessing to you as you help others. It just has a way of returning. But let me remind you that we do not do things just to see what we're going to get back. Our motives must be pure. God will see to it that he will enrich your life in his way. Remember, his word tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. If one is selfish and only cares for themselves and time, they're going to be discouraged and feel empty. I remember early in our ministry, we had a new family that came to our church. The husband was very friendly and outgoing. The wife was really quiet and reserved. And I observed that she so often was sort of hang back by herself, even when ladies tried to engage her. Well, one Sunday, service was over, and we were greeting people, and here she was over in a corner all by herself. So I made my way over to her, tried to encourage her, to talk with her in conversation. And she told me, she said, "I just don't feel welcome here. I don't have any friends." Well, that hurt me as a pastor. And I shared a little bit, and finally I felt impressed to say, "But you know, you have to be a friend, be friendly to have a friend." And she heard me, but you know what? It wasn't long they quit coming to church. And somebody told me, "Pastor, she didn't like what you said." And I thought, what could have I done different? We went to the home and visited. And of course, then they told me, "Stan, it wasn't the pastor's. Nothing I said or did. They were just looking for another church." But we have to be sensitive to those around us. And here's a word. Sometimes we have our select friends, you know? Some people are more friendly and outgoing. Sister Carolyn, yeah. Carolyn, I just love how she is just loving on all of us. And not everybody's like that, though. Maybe you're a little shy, I don't know, but we tend sometimes to get in what I call clicks. You know what that is? There's where we have to say, "Lord, help me to reach out to others and not to be caught up in a click." Ask the Holy Spirit to help you in that area and to involve others, not just your old best friend. We moved to Florida in 1988. I went to Bible college. And we moved into a very tight-knit community. Some of these families had been there a number of years. Their children were involved in school. Well, here's a brand new family coming in. They gave kindergarten through college level. So we were all right there in this community. We knew two families slightly from some years before that had lived in Pennsylvania, were down there. Everyone else was brand new to us. So we worked hard to make friends. I remember one family got very close to told us that when we first came, they really weren't sure they wanted to be friends because we were students. I said, "Why?" "Because," he said, "students come and go, and then we have that pain, there goes our friends." Well, I'm glad we learned to know them well and enjoyed their time with them. The Lord helped us become acclimated into the new church and the community there. My wife got a job on campus as an office receptionist and secretary, so she was meeting people. But you know, it wasn't long till we realized our oldest son, John Mark, was going to ninth grade, and he says, nobody is friendly to me. And that hurt, you know, his parents. What can you do about that? Now, Joy just seemed like she fit right in, and Joel, the little redhead going into kindergarten, he had no problems. But our oldest son, it was a real struggle for him. Sometimes children have a difficulty fitting in when they come in new. So that brings me to the question, church, new families come in among us. Are we doing our part to make them feel welcome and part of us? Only you can answer that. Let's invite people into our homes. I think none of the horses are here today, so I can talk about them, right? Have you had them to your home for a meal? Have you taken them out for a meal? Have you taken pizza to the house? It's something that we need to be challenged by. Let's make them feel welcome. I think sometimes they feel a little struggle there. And so let's love on them a little bit. Let's pray that God would help us, and if we've done a poor job, ask for him to forgive us. If we're a church and we want to grow, we're going to have new families coming. How are we going to deal with them? Jesus wants us to be people with our hands extended, of welcome, of love, of caring. May God help us. May he fill our hearts with joy. I know we all have busy schedules. We're probably too busy. But remember, Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us." And so don't forget to help someone else. Many are looking for help, and it could be you that can meet their need. Shannon and I are pastors here, but we can't do it all. We need all of us together working. Take seriously the pledge that you have to be a minister to others. I challenge you. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm available. He'll direct your paths. It starts by praying every morning, seeking him. Show a little kindness for good and for God's glory. So what do you say? Let's do it. And let's see what happens here at Mount Pleasant.